Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
2024 is upon us, which means a packed schedule of FA Cup and, of course, Premier League action. Beat the January blues and watch every game with the atmosphere it deserves down at your local Green King Sports pub. Don't settle for a dodgy stream. If it's on the telly, it's on at your local Green King across their huge HD screens. If you download the Green King Sports app, you'll also receive 10% off every single drink whenever there's a game on. Their venues offer a range of low and no alcohol options, so dry January doesn't mean you have to settle for a worse sports watching experience. Green King. Welcome to this week's Spurs show, my first Spurs show 2024. Happy New Year to everyone. On what would have been David Bowie's 77th birthday, we'll look at this week's Spurs heroes and assess whether this is the beginning of some changes and some golden years with Postecoglou, a possible future legend or another managerial rock and roll suitor. Tonight there'll be many a conversation piece with two supermen and young dudes as we look back not in anger at the win against Burnley. Will there be sorrow at Old Trafford on Sunday or a win? Will Eric Dyer stay or say London by Tata? And will Dragosin be a sweet thing in a new career in a new town? And Timo Werner, the start of a new fantastic voyage? I could literally do this an entire show. I could do half an hour of silly Bowie puns, but I won't. Anyway, joining me this evening, they're back. It's Silly O'Clock in Australia from the Cheese Room podcast. David Harris, how are you, David?
I'm very well indeed. Really looking forward to talking about Ange as we've arisen from the ashes to ashes of the Conte era.
There we are. You're looking very fresh-faced for someone who's sitting there at 5 o'clock in the morning. And also joining us, who actually, I've got it in front of me here. This is wasted on him. The great Bowie album by album book by Paolo Hewitt.
Yes.
He's here, Mr. Paolo Hewitt. How are you?
Yes, thank you.
And what a great book it is. I hadn't flicked through that for a while. It's really good. But it is.
You sound surprised.
It's great pictures. I'm a little bit surprised. I thought it might be one of your throwaway books, of which you've done many.
Not at all.
You know?
I was actually, it was one of the highlights when we found out through various ways and means that Bowie actually had a copy in his house.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
And apparently he used to show it to people. I think it was more about the pictures than maybe my insights into the Google. So even so, I was very, very tired. I'd love to have met him. It was funny, I was reading about him today. Chalky Davis, you know, the photographer, was talking about when he met him and photographed him, and somebody had said to him, Terry O'Neill, great Terry O'Neill.
Oh, yes, he did all the, some of the Diamond Dog stuff.
It's impossible to photograph David Bowie without liking him.
My favourite Bowie, funny little story, I did was in New York a few years ago. I did one of those David Bowie walking tours. And they told a great story. They took us to this little Italian cafe. They went, this is Bowie's favourite place. Really old school it was. Really old sort of espresso machine. And someone sort of said, well, doesn't he just get bothered the whole time? People must be coming in and going, it's David Bowie. He said, when he doesn't want to talk to people, he nips around the corner and buys a Greek newspaper. And people then come in and go, it's David Bowie. And they go, no, it's some Greek guy. Look, he's got a Greek newspaper. It can't be him. And that's what he used to do. What a great idea.
Brilliant.
Anyone famous out there doesn't like getting bothered, nip out and get a Greek newspaper from, I don't know, somewhere near Tottenham, no doubt. Anyway, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Lots to cover today. Obviously, we're going to look back at the tough, really, win last Friday against Burnley. And then Sunday, we've got this huge, huge game against Manchester United. Hopefully, we'll shut up. Last season, we were terrible there from memory. I think United was just as poor as they are now. And we actually, most Spurs fans went there thinking, well, this is going to win. And we just didn't show up under Conte. It was one of the worst performances I've seen under Conte. So no doubt we'll talk about that. And the transfer window is now open. Various rumours flying about. So we're going to certainly talk about that on tonight's Spurs show. David, we're going to start with you, Burnley. So if that was an 8... Oh, that's a little bit better for you, isn't it? If it's 8 p.m. kickoff, what time is that for you in Australia?
A very convivial 7 a.m. Saturday morning.
So you're watching it, having breakfast.
We're having breakfast. Lovely. You know, I'm watching it with my son, Jack. Mm-hmm. And we watched it. On my wall behind me is a signed Jimmy Greaves picture scoring in 1962 FA Cup final.
Like Quicksilver, Greaves scores. I think that was the line. Like
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I was looking forward to it. You know, obviously Burnley made 5 changes. I think Kompany has become a little bit more streetwise in terms of coaching his teams in the Premier League than going for kind of total football. But I think you're right. I mean, it was a struggle. The start that we made sums up the season. It's been a really promising, positive season. But when we do that start and we have those chances and we don't convert those chances, stronger teams are really going to punish us. And then we saw that, you know, Richie had a couple of good chances. So I think that is something that we needed to look at and address. And we'll be talking about the window later on. And the person who will be coming in doesn't exactly have the best goal-scoring record of all time.
Well, it's looking as we record this tonight, we believe he's flying in tomorrow to London, Timo Werner, for a medical. Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Paolo, I mean, as David alluded there, we kind of struggled a bit. It took a bit of a wonder strike, really, to win the game. Lovely to see. And then after that, they had 2 huge chances. I think it was a great Davis block. And from the corner, guy was like 3-4 yards out and sort of spooned it over. Could have easily been a replay in that week when we had a week winter break.
They had a much better chance in the first half, actually.
Also the first half, he was just 1-1 with the keeper.
And I thought they played some very nice football when they were when they were at it. When Richie missed those 2 chances, you could feel it was funny. I was watching the Arsenal Liverpool game on Sunday. I was thinking, I know this script.
We
go close, you go close, you go close, and then the other team nicks a goal at the end and wins. And that was, I was saying to my mate, I was going, are you thinking what I'm thinking? But it was funny with the Porro goal because I was actually behind it. And when he first hit it and it went in, I was convinced it'd come off a defender's shoulders. Right. Because the way it travelled, you know, up and then down, I thought that's come off a defender. And then you just saw what a fantastic goal it was. I think, you know, I agree with Ange on it that, it's the same team. They're playing very, very intense football. Hamstrings are pinging all over the place. And I think, quite frankly, a lot of them are exhausted, you know.
Yeah, because definitely.
We haven't got the depth to cover it. The fact that we're doing so well is amazing, really.
It is amazing. It is amazing. Look, these are the games when you go, oh, God, please take the cup seriously. Don't play your second string.
Yeah.
The team came out, Dave, and they went, oh, great. Played he was playing the only team he could play, unless he wanted to play people who literally never played before. Yeah. That was our strongest team. That's the only team we've got.
Somebody said that to me in the crowd. They said, oh, what team he's picking? Mm. The only one he's got left. That's any team you can pick. You know,
I know, David, with actually the goal, I thought there was a bit of a delay behind the goal. The goal went in. There was a bit of delay until everyone sort of jumped up, which I thought was a bit surprising. I think people just shocked that he just took it.
I was the same in the Southern Hemisphere because the shot went in. I thought he just missed and went on the other side. And I think it's let's do a bit of Pedro Porro love here, right?
Yeah.
Because if you remember his first day at the office, he had to work alongside Japhet Tanganga and Eric Dyer in that awful defeat at Leicester. And Tim Sherwood, who's Theo Delaney's favourite Spurs manager of all time, said he was the worst player he's ever seen.
He did.
And if I can just remind you of the Porro quote, which I've got down here, where he said, Porro shrugs, laughs, a determination there. Let me loose in a prison and I'll end up owning the place. And I think Pedro has been our best right back, like we can say easily, since Kyle Walker, who, let's not forget, we sold Kyle Walker to our rivals and replaced him with Serge Aurier. So I think Pedro has been one of the best players of the season thus far.
I totally agree. And obviously a lot of people said at the beginning of the season when they heard Postecoglou's style, well, he's going to be out. He's not going to work. He can't play that position. I think he's clearly shown people that he can. If anything, he's actually improved him as a player because he's got this great pace. He gets back. I think his positional sense is pretty good. And obviously, we saw on Friday what he can do when he goes forward. And the game really needed that because you couldn't really see a scoring, to be honest.
No.
I thought Brennan had some good chances early on. Kind of faded again. He was playing on the wrong side. He likes to play on the right, and he was playing on the left. And you know, I know he kind of moved things around. Lo Celso was disappointing. That was a game you think, well, he's been on form now. He'll take the game of the scruff. And that, to me, again, didn't do enough. Gil when he came on, just flitted around, didn't do much. It was one of those frustrating games. And to be honest, if we lost that game 1-0. You kind of would have gone, well, you know, you couldn't turn around and go, well, that was really unfair. We deserve to win that, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. We kind of didn't. And as we record the show tonight, in about an hour or so, will be the draw for the fourth round. Obviously, most Spurs fans will want another home tie against, ideally, a championship or League One team or
Maidstone.
Something.
Let's get Maidstone.
Maidstone would be nice. We'll take Maidstone at home. That would be good. And let's see how far we can go in the competition. The one thing, David, that obviously Paolo alluded to with the hamstring there is that Ben Davis, again, one of our best players this season, who's had to come in. No one expects to play week in, week out. He's got a hamstring. The club haven't really said how severe it is. And we'll talk about... And the fact also tonight is that the young guy from Blackburn, we got in, his
Ashley
now...
Ashley Phillips
has now gone on loan to Plymouth, which says to me there is incoming. You don't get rid of someone who's been sitting on the bench as a centre-back when another centre-back who's been playing centre-back is now injured. So we're assuming this deal for Dragosin, the Romanian player from Genoa, we assume this is happening. The latest mumblings are that Bayern Munich were interested, but we believe he wants to come to Tottenham. So we're just assuming that deal will get done. Even with that deal, David, let's say this deal happens for him. I still think we're short there, surely.
We are. So we're saying that Phillips has gone from Blackburn to Tottenham to Plymouth in one season. That's a lot of travelling.
Well, a lot of travelling. Clearly, Postecoglou's looked at him and gone, he's not coming on, he's not going to start any of these games. So, fair enough. I mean, he watches him. He's only 18.
Yeah, look, I've got more faith in Ange in terms of bringing on young players and putting them in the team and developing. We talked about Porro, and he's put in Sarr and he's put in Destiny without any questions this season. So he's not your Conte who uses young players for like training cones, which is what I think Donnelly's dad said on Twitter last year. Yeah, I mean, you look at what's happened. You've got Rodon's gone to Leeds. You've got Tanganga's gone. Sanchez has gone. And looks like Dyer's going as well. So you are assuming that Dragosin's going to be in. But the question is whether you need one more as well. I mean, it was a massive gap at the end of the August transfer window. And very remiss to have no decent third centre-back cover. going into season, particularly with someone like Romero with his injury and disciplinary record. And then you had Van de Ven, who, you know, we all were obviously hopeful he was going to come in, slot in, and being as amazing as he has been. But it's always a bit of a gamble there, isn't it? So,
well, it's a worry even now when he does come back, he doesn't do his hamstring again. Some players have susceptible hamstrings and they go more than once. This is the concern. And Postecoglou has already said the way we train is very different to how a lot of teams train, and you do get a lot of hamstring injuries. So the fact that he's had a hamstring, Davis has now had a hamstring, it shouldn't kind of surprise anyone. Obviously, it was nice to see Sessegnon also come back.
Speaking of hamstrings.
Well, exactly. I still think there's a player there. I mean, again, he was one of the best players, certainly one of the best young players in the country, and he was at Fulham. And he just hasn't done it at Tottenham, not helped, admittedly, by succession after succession of injuries. He had one decent run when we thought, oh, finally we're seeing a player here, and he got injured again. Paolo, what do you think we will do at the back anyway, hopefully a bit more work in the transfer market?
Well,
or you think that'll be it?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, talking about Timo Werner, I'm much more interested in us shoring up the defence, because that's really lacking. Attacking options, we can defence with threadbare, and you know, when we're lucky though, aren't we? Because it's January, we've got United Sunday, and then we haven't got a game till the end of the. Well, we'll have a game on the 27th. Will be the next one. So we haven't been lucky.
Who we got on the 27th?
With the FA Cup fourth round.
Oh, cool. Oh, right. Okay. There we go.
And then on the 31st,
and then we've got Brentford.
Brentford, yeah. Okay. So we've got three games basically staggered. So so we have been quite lucky. And hopefully, Romero, apparently he's back in training, Romero, yeah?
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that.
I read it somewhere. But I just think the defence really needs shoring up at the moment. Really does.
Well, I mean, if you assume that Van de Ven will be back soon, and the Dragosin comes in, and Romero comes back, that's three. You've now got Davis injured. He's effectively going, I will always have two out of this four, because he doesn't seem to play three centre-backs.
No.
It's still a little bit, I still think it's short. I still think,
but he's got Emerson.
Yes. I mean, Davis has done incredibly well.
I've got to
well.
Say about Emerson, he was
yes,
of the
he got Royal as well. Exactly.
On Friday, I thought he was amazing.
Yes. So maybe
I thought Emerson got a little bit done, was a little bit static playing the offside line for that chance in the first half that the guy spooned over the bar. Yes. I mean, I think that so there's another podcast that said that Emerson's a bit the Brazilian Ben Davis because he's played across almost every position in the back four. He's what you'd class as a decent squad player for a team that's challenging for top honours, but he wouldn't be your starter. I mean, against Brighton, he had a shocker against Brighton away.
He's hot and cold, isn't he?
I mean, I give him a lot of respect for the fact that he's turned around. I mean, he was booed off the pitch when he was subbed off at Bournemouth away last year. And I give him a lot of credit for the fact that he's really, you know, tried his heart out in turning his career around. And let's not forget, actually, the first game of the season, Bournemouth away, he scored that beautiful goal. It was like a snooker player playing along the base of the table. And he didn't play after that because Porro came in. So I've got... Him and Davis are like your James Milners around the squad, right?
Yeah.
You put them in where you need to. But if we're going to challenge for top honours, they're not your starters. So he'll get in a third. This Dragosin will come in, and I think he'll take the view that, well, I've got Emerson and I've got Davis when fit, and therefore I can call upon five, and that'll do me for this window.
Yeah, I think you're going to be right. Well, let's look at, now we're talking about players, let's talk about up front. But before we do that, let's just quickly go on a very, very short break. And we're back from the break. Don't forget, as well as the weekly Spurs show, you can get a daily news show, ex-player interviews, original documentary series on Tottenham. Go to patreon.com/Spurs show. Support our show in the process. Our monthly London live show is up and running. I think it's our next show. Our next show, Wednesday, January the 17th, in London's glittering West End. The return of Terry Meathook Naylor. Lovely, lovely man. Great character. Some extraordinary stories. Come and join us. Come and meet Terry Nutter Naylor. Links to tickets in the description to this podcast. or just become a Spurs Show season ticket holder and come along with you and a couple of mates for now. season.spursshow.net, sign up. February will be confirmed, and then the big one, March the 20th, Spurs Show evening with Mr. Paul Gascoigne at the Leicester Square Theatre. About two-thirds of the tickets have gone now, so if you were thinking of coming along, go to leicestersquaretheatre.com, get your tickets. There's normal tickets, there's tickets where you can have your photo of Gazza, there's tickets where you can get stuff signed by him. So go and look that up. That's going to be quite an extraordinary night. And as I mentioned, next week, the next show we're doing is actually another kind of live one, live at the Antwerp Arms. Julie Welsh comes on the show a lot, has a new book out about striking partnerships with Tottenham, striking partners, and Theo Delaney will be doing a Q&A with her at the Antwerp Arms next Monday. If you check on our Twitter feed, there are links to get free tickets for that. And then afterwards, we'll be recording a Spurs show there with Julie. Obviously, Rob White and the journalist Ian Ridley. So that is next. That's the Monday after. I'm getting very, very confused with the new year. So next week, Terry Naylor. Following week, another live event. Go and check all those out. David, so the real left field one that's came in, no one anywhere. Always makes you laugh. You get these sort of what they called in the nose on social media, whatever. No one picked this up at all until literally a couple of days ago. Timo Werner, for those of you who don't know, I think he's about 27, 28 now, was a very, very good striker at Leipzig. Tottenham, I remember, were linked with him at the time. He went to Chelsea for around 50 million. I mean, you speak to Chelsea players, they went, he was final on the line, he does a lot of work off the ball, but another striker couldn't put the ball in the net. And let's face it, they've had a lot of these kind of players. Obviously, he had to fit into sort of another rigid Conte system. So you can sort of maybe take it with a pinch of salt. He's gone back to Leipzig, not banging in the goals. And with the Euros coming up, he wants to try and push his way back into the national team. And therefore, Tottenham looks like they're going to be doing a six-month deal, basically, take him up to the end of the season with an option to buy if they want to. But the option is like 15, 20 million pounds. We're obviously going to cover his wages. David, do you think it's a good bit of business by Tottenham?
I've got very mixed feelings about this because conceptually, as I said, as when we talked about Burnley, the one issue that we've got is converting the chances. So you've got Brennan, you've got Kulu, you've got Hill. For what their strengths and weaknesses are, putting the ball in the back of the net is not a strength at the moment, and that's a concern. Richie, I appreciate, is in the strongest form of his Tottenham career, but that's not a hard benchmark. And he's done well. But, I mean, he missed
he loves dragging a ball wide, doesn't he?
He does, and his distribution was shocking against Burnley. And so conceptually we have that, and we're going to get someone in who, and I do remember him, I'm pretty sure that he dumped us out of the Champions League when he played for Leipzig against Mourinho's Tottenham. And he looked a very promising player. Yeah. But when he came to Chelsea, he was another Shevchenko, Kesman, Robert Fleck, Chris Sutton. Yeah. Take your pick, right? And off he went. He can't get in. So, you know, if I look at the loanees that we've got over the years, you know, I know that Sahar and Nelson were on six-month deals. They weren't loaned strictly. But then I looked at when we got Gudjonsson in for that second half of the 2010 season, and I was very pleased with that. He got a good goal at Stoke, and he was that senior experience around the squad guiding through, you could tell that. And also links to the Tottenham history, because his dad was missed a penalty against Tony Parks.
That's right.
And but then you compare that to Andy Booth, who we got in on the six-month loan. And we don't really need to say any more.
Gregor Raziak, another one. Yeah.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, I can see why he's done it. And again, we have to go with, if Ange wants to do it, and he said, right, I'll do this. If as long as Levy doesn't come to him and said, I'm opening a go-kart track in January. Oh, and by the way, do you fancy Timo Werner? Then the preference really is that I can see why he's doing it, because we've got Manor out, Perisic out, etc. Sonny's away. I understand the logic, but then the logic of we need some more goals up there and bringing in someone who can't hit a barn door with the proverbial, you've got to question it.
Paolo, I mean, the thing is, again, my memory of Werner I haven't seen him in the second incarnation at Leipzig, but I do remember the first time. He does pull wide. He gets in behind fullbacks. You know, one of our big tactics under Postecoglou is someone literally getting to the byline and playing it back for Sarr to come in. He's got experience. As David said, we haven't been firing all cylinders there. I think Brennan's come in. I think he's done well, but not played. I think he's probably played more than he expected to. It's got to be worth a punt, isn't it?
Well, I think he'll be much more suited to Ange Ball than Richarlison. Because one of the things that I was looking at on Friday at the game was Richarlison's runs just weren't there. You know, the amount of times the ball went into the area and he wasn't where he should have been. He just wasn't making those runs. Mm. And I'm thinking to myself that Werner will be making those runs and will be dragging defenders away and creating space. And but then, you know, like David, there was a thing on Twitter or one of the things, cataloguing all his misses.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, man.
I mean, who bothers to sit down and put
all
these
things
together?
My 8-year-old could have put in half of them, you know. I mean, yeah. It was a bit worrying, you know. I'm just hoping that he wants to be at Spurs. He wants a new lease of life. He wants to get into the national team. So I'm just hoping that, that this is an inspired signing. And, I mean, do you know what? I just keep thinking, I wish Harry had stayed for another year.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I know,
man.
Yeah.
He'd have like 25 goals by now.
Yeah, I know.
We'd be top of the league. I mean, it would just be he'd just be suited for that team, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
But it's like when you're talking about the evening you've got with Julie Welsh and the great striking duos. It's I'm not sure that Armstrong and Jones will be featuring in the book, but we're a little bit like that at the moment because we've got some really good build up play. We're creating a lot of chances.
Yeah.
And for those two or three seasons, we couldn't put them away, and then Cooksey and Archie turned up, and off we went. Right. And it feels a little bit like that at the moment. And that is a concern because we've got, you know, all the other big boys are really struggling this season. They've all got their issues. And this is actually a really great opportunity for us with no European football. Mm. And you know, the Kane thing, look, I can understand he had a year left. He wasn't signing a new deal. I can understand the reason and the logic for it, as gutting as it is. But at the same time, if you're going to replace, I mean, he was effectively replaced in the squad by the Argentinian youngster.
Another one is injured, Valise.
I think, and hadn't replaced him. I wasn't saying that, you know, go out and, you know, you could have gone out and got the Brentford guy and wait until he's back, but that was never going to happen. But to not go out and spend a substantial piece of money on a striker who plays in the middle can pull it away, I think that's been the other remiss part of the transfer window in August. And that's what we're seeing at the moment. I mean, basically, at the end of the day, this guy is coming in, Werner. He's not going to convert a lot of chances. His record doesn't suggest that. I'd love to be completely wrong, but it doesn't look that way.
We'll see.
At the start of his career, he was on fire.
He's done it.
So yeah, he has done it. Exactly. He has done it. There is light at the end of the tunnel. But I know what you're saying. I just think I'm more pro it than I'm anti it. Because I do think that he wants to succeed. His style would really suit much more than Richarlison, because he's faster, he's more mobile. And that's our thing now, isn't it? Getting that ball moving really quickly, get it down the wings, get it across, and he'll be making those runs. And, you know, let's just hope he can, you know, find the net, you know. But I'm more pro it than anti, I've got to say.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I am too. And, well, we wish him well. The deal hasn't been done as we record this, but it looks like it's being done. I can't see, unless they're keeping something up their sleeve, I'd be amazed. Maybe one more in.
They've got to get a centre-half, because if they're going to send Bayer off to Bayern Munich...
Well, Dragosin, I think, will come in. I'd be amazed
Phillips
if this deal...
Dragosin
will happen. I think Dragosin and Werner, I think... Look, I'm always the one that believes until you see them, you know, on the desk, sign the contract with the arm around them. They're not at Tottenham yet. But hopefully those two...
Where's Paratici in all this, do you think? Because
apparently he's still advising. He's still an advisor.
Do you think he was advising on the Werner thing? Because he's put together that team. I mean, I'm a big Paratici fan. You know, the signings he's made for us, that's the core of our team.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the new people who come in and Mann and Langer under him. I mean, they've barely been there, but presumably they're doing stuff. And look, I mean, this could be their network. This could be a stroke of genius. They found out someone at Leipzig said, you know what, if you put a bid in, he'd come. This is the kind of thing you want. You want to be first to these kind of moves, like we used to be. That, you know. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. Anyway, let's move on now to this weekend. Sunday afternoon is always a massive game, one that many of us have been to many, many times. I went with Paolo that famous night after in Old Trafford.
I was wondering if you were going to bring that.
Two up. Was it two up? We were two up, and then they had a blatant... it was Howard Webb. Howard Webb. Someone dived in the box. He gave
Wayne
it.
Wayne Rooney.
Right, and we lost 5-2, and you were tired and emotional, let's say. You
were tired and emotional. What I thought was a Manchester United steward saying to him, is this how you do it? Is this how you win the league? And this steward kept saying to me, look, mate, you got it all wrong. No, I haven't got it wrong. This is how you do it, isn't it? How much has he bunged? How much has Fergie bunged Webb, eh? He finally went, I'm a Tottenham Hotspur away steward. I don't work for Man United.
Yeah, you're really giving it to him. You're really giving it to him.
Get my mouth shut all the way back to London.
Yeah, I know.
Was that the Gomez penalty? Was it that year?
I think it was. We were two up.
Yeah.
We were two up.
We lost 5-2. Yeah.
Blimey.
It was, exactly.
Oh, God. We've had some great victories there as well, obviously.
One of the things I always think about us there was that we always kind of freeze. We always kind of, always Man United. And, you know, history suggests these days that it's not Man United. You know, it's a very average team in a... You know.
But there's always a certain player. Look at last season where we lost under Conte. There's always one player, whether it's Fernandes or someone else, who just has a sort of a worldy game. And I mean, last season
Ronaldo
got a hat trick, and I'm like, yeah. But David, you remember last season?
Yeah.
I think for once, most Spurs fans went there or watched it where they're around the world, thinking we're going to win today. We're on form. They're terrible, and we were dreadful. If there's anything, but I know it's a brand new manager and lots of new players.
That's what I mean. We kind of freeze there sometimes, don't we?
We have done, but surely we've got to go with belief and go at them.
I think last season I think Højbjerg was particularly awful.
Yes,
he was awful last season in that game, and we went up there, and it was those times that. It's those games that we've seen too many times over the last few years. This is a big game. It's almost like a 6-point that we've got to go up there and show what we're going to do, and we don't turn up, right? Mm-hmm. And so there, and that was that one. And then the one before that, the Ronaldo one, I was just, I thought we'd blown fourth then, because I was very annoyed about the fact that we did play well. We did show up. That was Conte's best, in his best 6 months out of 18 months. Yeah. And I mean, Romero was at fault for one or two of Ronaldo's goals. Mm-hmm. They had no one but Ronaldo playing. And that was disappointing. So my Old Trafford memories were, if you remember the famous League Cup win, I think we beat them 3-1. Fergie had just joined. I think Fennett had broke his leg, and Paul Moran was playing, and Lineker scored. And then, of course, I was up at an FA Cup match where we went up north, and we were playing Neil Fenn and Rory Allen up top with Jerry Francis. And we all knew we were going to lose. And Beckham lobbed Walker from about 30 yards. And then he came down to White Hart Lane the following week when Vega and Scales made their debuts and did the same thing. I was going out as Man United supporter at the time. It was a fantastic couple of weeks for me. but I think the last time that we beat him in the league was one of Moura's finest hours, other than Ajax, obviously. Mm. I'm pretty sure that was when Mourinho was there, and we beat him 3-0 or something.
3-1, no, and we had the famous 6-1 as well, obviously.
Oh yeah, sorry, my bad. Of course,
that was the most extraordinary one behind closed doors.
We beat them at the start of the season as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
But up there, so that's right. So one of Serge Aurier's famous moments. We were talking about him just before. So he had a great game there. But yeah. Look, we're all in agreement, I think, here. We want to go up there. They're not playing very well, and we want to turn up, because a lot of times we don't turn up, and that's what we want to see.
But I think one of the great things about Ange Ball is that it forces you to turn up, because if you play Ange Ball, you have to turn up. You have to be on the front foot. You have to move that ball around quickly. You have to, you know, make those intricate passes, and you have to stand on the halfway line and, you know, thou shalt not pass. So
we've had a nine-day break from, in a way, it's quite handy playing Friday nights. You had basically the free weekend 9-day break. They're playing Wigan Athletic tonight, probably the second string team. Wigan are now in League One, I believe, so I mean, they shouldn't have any too much difficulty there. Obviously, we've got, as we know, no Sun, no Bissouma, no Romero. We still have injury problems. Well, I think Sarr will be back for this one, I think.
No, he's gone off, isn't he?
Of course, he's gone as well, isn't he?
Yeah. And it's such a shame because he's really starting to come into form, Sarr.
Yes.
He was against Newcastle. He was mad at the match. I thought he was just. I was never quite sure about him, but he. You know. Remember with Dembele, I was never quite sure, and then suddenly he just became Pelé. It was like suddenly he just started dribbling around five players and couldn't get the ball off him. And Sarr was just springing into life. I thought.
You know, when everyone's fit, I don't think Bissouma is an automatic start, which I think is a good thing. Great.
Who's your midfield then, David?
Well, you've got Bentancur.
Bentancur, I think, if he's fit, Wolf will start now, won't he?
Yeah, you got Madison, and then I think Sarr. I mean, he's got great potential, and I think he's the lungs of that midfield. Yeah, the way he gets up and down the park. And Bissouma was fantastic before Luton. He got sent off against Luton. He hasn't been the same since.
Yeah. But this Sunday, with the players that are available, what would your midfield be this Sunday?
Well, who have we got? I mean, I think that's pretty much the same, isn't it? I would probably... Skip.
No, I wouldn't go.
Well, but who have we got now, though, in the middle of the park? Okay, you've got Bentancur. You've got... Do you play Kulu deep?
Yeah, play Kulu there, and I'd play Højbjerg as well.
Really?
So you would have, but then you see, the thing is this. I think I actually thought the Celso had a good game against Burnley. Sorry,
oh, really?
Mike.
He just doesn't do enough. We all know he's a really good player and whatever, and that pass and that last game, the first time pass, the last game that we won, brilliant. That's what you want to see him do. But to me, it takes too many touches on the ball. We just want to release it quickly.
Yeah, I think that's probably
do a little period and play it. Just play it quickly.
Yeah, there's two or three times when there's times when he gets the ball, he's in a very promising position, and then before you know it, somebody from behind has come around and tackled him
and nicked it off him.
I quite agree. I agree with you, Dave. I thought he was fine on Friday. When you said that, Mike, I was thinking, perhaps I got it wrong. I'll keep quiet.
No, fair enough.
I decided to keep quiet as well. It's the regime.
Interesting psychology, this, isn't it?
Yeah. No, fair enough. Well, I mean,
Mike has spoken. We all know.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, they're getting players back as well. Shaw is now back. One of the reasons why Reguilón has obviously come back. That's the other thing. Reguilón now returned to Tottenham. And the other surprising one is Jed Spence. He's now back at the club.
And up for hasn't really come out. Away.
Some people have said that Leeds have said that's it, and then other people said actually Leeds looking to buy someone permanently and want to get some people off the wage bill. To me, and I know Postecoglou saw him in training early days. To me, informed Jed Spence is perfect for that system as well. But
I think there's something going on behind the scenes.
Yeah,
I think there's something to do with attitude or personal habits. I don't know, but. You wouldn't have a player of that skill and not use him unless there was something else. And Ange is very big, isn't he, on character?
Yes.
You have to have the right character. You can have all the skill in the world, but if you haven't got the right character, he's not interesting.
Yeah.
No. Apparently, he didn't get off to a good start on the tour to Israel. Apparently, he made a complaint about his hotel room, which didn't go down very well with Conte and the powers that be. And from there, that was where it was set. But I think that Spence is an example of the lack of joined up thinking in terms of you know, Conte didn't want him. It was a club signing and all the rest of it. And we spent weeks and weeks of negotiating and we get him in and he doesn't use him as a point of principle. Mm-hmm. And they come back to Ange. If Ange had seen something in pre-season that he liked about him, he'd be there now.
Yeah.
Look what he's done with Porro and Emerson. You'd have thought that if any, you know, Porro or Emerson would be the ones on the way out, and it's not turned out to be that way at all. Yeah. So you're absolutely right, Paolo. It's about the attitude. He picked up on it, I think, and that's why he's not there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Paolo, let's give us a score prediction for Sunday. Man United, Tottenham, always a glamour game, one of the glamour games of the season.
Man United 1, Tottenham Hotspur 2.
Ooh, lovely. David?
It's going to be Man United 1, Tottenham 3. Werner 2 goals on his debut.
And, hey!
We're going to get Lo Celso defying Mike with a goal.
I'll take it.
And Mike on social media saying, forgive me, Giovanni, forgive me.
I'm going to agree with Paolo, and I think it'll be 2-1 the Spurs.
We get Cheechty in the cup, and Werner scores the winner in the 89th minute.
That would be nice. That'd be a pleasant one. Well, yeah. Gentlemen, it's been lovely to have you both back. David, thank you so much for getting up at silly o'clock to join us. Paolo, always lovely to see you.
You as well, my friend.
As I said, we are back next Wednesday with Theo Delaney, Matthew Hamilton, Martin Lipton and Terry Naylor live at the Albany on Great Portland Street. Tickets available. Go to season.spurshow.net or Billetto Tickets. Come along, meet Terry. Always some great, great stories. And we look forward to seeing you then. And just also, I think this Friday, we recorded a 3-hour Terry Venables tribute show over 3 parts. And hopefully, if we get it all edited together, part one, which will be focusing on his playing career at Chelsea and Tottenham, part one hopefully will be in your inbox this Friday as well. It's a really, really great documentary. Some amazing stories that have never come out. So go and check that out on the Spurs Show feed. Hopefully that will be out this Friday, part one. That's it. Until next time. Come on, you Spurs. If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.